Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Listen carefully to what people say about end time prophecy, and you will hear many of them talking about the Antichrist. Movies have been made about the Antichrist, and some of those based on novels. There really seems to be a fascination with this long-awaited boogeyman, and people wonder if the Antichrist is already alive and with us, and are on the lookout for this person's rise to prominence. When they speak of the Antichrist, it is like they are speaking of a movie bad guy like Hannibal Lecter or a Jason. But what the vast majority of these people don't understand is that the book of the Bible focused on end time prophecies, the book of Revelation, doesn't specifically use the term the Antichrist. And the author of that book, the Apostle John, only used that term in two of his letters. In those letters, he made it clear that the term Antichrist is not limited to a specific person, as many Antichrists were already present at the time of John. The books and movies about the Antichrist are thrilling, and while loosely based on what is in the Bible, include elements of fiction to tell the story. And whenever fiction is intertwined with prophecy, we need to consider what the Bible says about private interpretations of prophecy. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Because we are not to have a private interpretation of prophecy, we will look at what the Bible says about Antichrist. And we will also look at verses from Revelation that shows not one end-time boogeyman, but two end-time boogeymen. We'll look at the connection of love to the Spirit of Truth, and how this stands in stark contrast to Antichrist. As we move closer to the return of Jesus Christ, we do not want to be caught up in a prophetic error, because that type of error could land us on the wrong side of history. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Antichrist is defined to be one who denies that Jesus is the Messiah, denying both Father and Son, and that there are many Antichrists. 1 John 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Antichrist is associated with those who do not follow the commandments, including the commandment from Jesus to love one another. When John wrote of the need to walk after his commandments and to love one another, this is linked to the reason because there are many deceivers who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, making them not only a deceiver, but an antichrist. 2 John 1, verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Those who do not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh are not of God and are antichrist. It is of those who are antichrist that we will find many false prophets. Unlike the boogeyman personas of movies and books, we have nothing to fear from these false prophets and those who are antichrist. They may be of the world and be better received than we are, but they have the spirit of error. We have the spirit of truth, which leads us to love one another, knowing that God has already shown his love to us by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus, so that we might live. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Without this love for each other, we are not doing what is expected of us. Without this love for each other, it is as if we ignore the sacrifice of Jesus and make it hard for others to see us as his disciples. Without love for each other, can we really believe that Jesus came in the flesh? John 13, verse 31. Therefore, When he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Loving one another is so important and integral to our faith that when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees to identify the great commandment in the law, Jesus told them that the first and great commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and that the second commandment was like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Within the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments show us how to love God, and the last six, how to love our neighbor. But the love that we are to have for each other is much more than just commandment keeping. How we respond to others around us defines the love that we have. In his first letter, John writes that love we have for the brethren shows we have passed from death to life. He writes that those who harbor thoughts of hate are no different than a murderer, and that if we hate others, we are not on the side of eternity and eternal life. John then adds that we do not have the love of God in us if, when we have the capacity to help another person in need, we don't. John reminds us we show our love by what we do, not what we say. 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeing his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. John reminds us that we keep the commandments of God and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, and reminds us that loving one another is a commandment that Jesus gave us, and couples that to belief in Jesus Christ. If we believe Jesus has come in the flesh, we will love one another. 1 John 3, verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us commandment. Love does involve walking after the commandments and doing what is expected of us, and that also includes having love for one another. If we somehow think we are keeping the commandments and do not have love for one another, we are mistaken. 2 John 1, verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Paul reminded the Romans that love is the fulfilling of the law, and showed how the last six commandments can be summarized as loving your neighbor as yourself. The only thing we should owe to another person is love. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the same, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Paul also reminded the Thessalonians of the continued need to love one another, but knew with the Thessalonians they already had love for one another, and wanted them to increase the love that they already had. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, and that you walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Peter also wrote of the need to love one another, with a pure heart looking to that which is eternal. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The love that we have for each other is not only a sign that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ, it shows we believe Jesus has come in the flesh, because if we did not believe that Jesus came in the flesh, we would not be His disciples. Believing that Jesus came in the flesh is the opposite of Antichrist. Believing that Jesus came in the flesh is being for Christ. When Jesus came in the flesh and died, He did that so our sins could be forgiven. No longer are we under the penalty of sin, as forgiveness of sin is made available to us. Those who are Antichrist, who do not believe that Jesus came in the flesh by logic, also cannot believe that He died so that forgiveness of sin is made available to us. Without forgiveness of sin, there can be no hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And instead of looking to Jesus Christ, those who are Antichrist look to other sources for salvation. We who are not Antichrist look to become servants of righteousness. Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you are the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Those who believe that Jesus has come in the flesh know there is forgiveness of sin. But with this forgiveness, there is also a focus on not sinning, knowing that if we fall short, Jesus Christ will advocate on our behalf with God the Father. Even with this forgiveness of sin, we keep the commandments, including the commandment to love one another. With those who are antichrist, having love for one another will be missing, and understanding of forgiveness of sin will be lacking. 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Those who are antichrist, who do not believe that Jesus has come in the flesh, have a very bleak future, as pointed out in the book of John. For these people, instead of believing that Jesus has come in the flesh so that our sins could be forgiven, it's easier for them to accept what they can see with their own eyes, even if what they see is a world of evil. It's easier for them to come to terms and love what they see, even if what they see is the evil in this world, than to love what we believe and hope for. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. It is through the blood of Jesus we have redemption. There is nothing we can do to pay the penalty for sin that leads to eternal life. All we have awaiting us without Jesus coming in the flesh is death. But through Jesus, we have this redemption, which makes it possible for us to be part of the kingdom of God. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Those who are antichrist, who do not believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, have a hard time understanding that it is through the blood of Jesus Christ we are saved. Instead of looking to Jesus Christ for redemption, they look to things they can do, as if they can earn it. We understand there is nothing we can do to earn salvation, as eternal life is the gift of God. With that faith, knowing that Jesus has come in the flesh, and knowing there is nothing we can do to earn salvation, we understand we are created in Jesus Christ to do good works, to walk in them. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Knowing our sins are forgiven because Jesus came in the flesh and died so that our sins could be forgiven, we are to forgive others, including those who may have wronged us. Those who are antichrist, who do not believe Jesus has come in the flesh, cannot believe that Jesus died so our sins could be forgiven. By extension, they would have no reason to forgive others. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We are not called to be super Jews. I have deep respect for my Jewish friends, and we have not been called to practice their religion better than they do. We have been called to practice a faith which is beyond what they believe and is based in the idea that Jesus came in the flesh and died so that our sins could be forgiven. The death of Jesus, which is only possible if he came in the flesh, makes possible the forgiveness of sin for all people. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volumes of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Because there is forgiveness of sin, there is no need to make offerings for sin as was the case in Old Testament times. Because we are of the faith, God's laws are written in our hearts and minds. Those who are Antichrist don't have the laws of God written in their hearts and minds. Verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. We know John writes of Antichrist, and how even during the time of John there were many Antichrists. Many confuse the term Antichrist with prophecies found in the book of Revelation, where not one but two distinct individuals are mentioned using imagery from a vision to describe them. Both are described as beasts from what John, who recorded the book of Revelation, saw in the vision. Contrast the count of two beasts with the term the Antichrist, which suggests only one. Both beasts have the spirit of Antichrist. There is not one, there are two. The first beast is described as having seven heads, 10 horns, and 10 crowns, and is named with the name of blasphemy on each of the heads. From the vision we know there will be a time span of 42 months, and during this time, this beast is going to make war with Christians and any other who stand in his way. Those whose names are not written in the book of life will worship the beast, and this beast, while prophetic imagery is used to introduce him, will at the end time be a person. And here is where the prophecy gets interesting. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. A second beast comes out of the earth, and unlike the first beast with the crowns, which broadly appears to represent civil authority, this second beast focuses on the spiritual and mystical by first creating an image to the first beast, having the people worship that image, and then appearing to bring that image to life. This second beast, which looks like a lamb and speaks like a dragon, personifies end-time religious deception. As a clue, we are told the first beast was wounded by a sword and had lived. Like all things with prophecy, we will have to wait to see if that is literal or figurative. We know the second beast will cause all to worship the image of the beast, which is interesting because why not just require them to worship the beast? People will be required to worship the image of the first beast, not technically the first beast himself. Getting the mark of the beast will also be required and necessary for commerce, unless one also has the name of the first beast or the number of his name, which is 666. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwelleth therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had that mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Even though during these 42 months of the rule of the two beasts, elsewhere identified in the book of Revelation as the beast and false prophet, times will be extremely challenging for the people of God. The people of God will overcome the beast and the false prophet and Satan who influences them, because the people of God believe that Jesus came in the flesh and died so that sins could be forgiven. They also overcome the situation by the word of their testimony, meaning they know enough about faith and the Bible and are led by the Holy Spirit as they give their testimony, and they do not love their lives to the death. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Not loving our lives to the death is part of how we overcome the beast and false prophet and Satan, along with believing that Jesus came in the flesh and died so that our sins could be forgiven. Not loving our life to the death is also linked to the word of our testimony, meaning we know the Bible and are led by the Holy Spirit. Not loving our life to the death is like what Jesus described as the greatest love a person can have, to lay down their lives for a friend. Jesus came in the flesh and was willing to lay down his life so that we could have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Not loving our lives to the death, as mentioned in Revelation, is an example of the type of love we are to have, as we may need to lay down our lives to be part of the kingdom of God. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And these things I command you, that ye love one another. As we love one another, we are able to withstand evil, including the beast and false prophet that will one day be present on earth. With books and movies talking of the Antichrist, we know that the beast and false prophet are two distinct individuals. We know Antichrist exists whenever people do not believe Jesus has come in the flesh. When people do not believe Jesus has come in the flesh, they are Antichrist, and for them, there is no belief in forgiveness of sin, leading to eternal life, and love, as described in the Bible, is lacking. When John writes of Antichrist, love is closely linked to all who are of the faith. What John wrote so long ago is still true today. Antichrist is with us, and there are many antichrists. And before the return of Jesus, we will see the beast and false prophet, who, while not directly named as antichrists in Revelation, definitely are antichrists. The faithful experience a rough ride and overcome society turned against them by the beast and false prophet, and overcome Satan. If we are alive at this future time, we will overcome them by believing that Jesus came in the flesh and died for our sins, by being led by the Holy Spirit and being knowledgeable about what is in the Bible, and not loving our lives to the death. Love for one another is something we must have and is kryptonite to all who are antichrist. Let us have love for one another. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.